Four.
And
Ken?
Ken on the phone?
Minimal.
Minimal. Okay, thank you. Any comments from the public? Or did we already take comments from the public on this one?
Yeah.
Anyone on the phone have any comments, like from the Community Mental Health Center Association?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. We're going to move on to the next measure. Oh, the recommendation. Good point. So now we are going on to the, now that we've heard from the public or not, now to the recommended vote. Are we going to vote to recommend this measure for inclusion in NQF or not? So first, how many recommend this particular measure? Raise your hand if you do. How many do not recommend?
Not everybody.
Ken?
Don't recommend.
Okay, thank you. And now, should we do the discussion about our alternative recommendation and make that officially?
I thought we already did that.
Well, I don't think we
did.
I don't think we really voted on it.
I move that we recommend that we ask the measure developer for the existing measure to expand this to expand the definition to include behavioral health populations with the proviso that stratification be done for the things we were discussing. I won't detail that again.
Okay. Like age and unit.
Such as age, diagnosis, unit, right. Type of unit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any discussion before we...
Existence of dementia or not.
Can I also add to make sure that co-occurring diagnoses also are included?
Okay. Anything else on the motion on the table? Are we ready to vote on that recommendation? Okay. How many recommend what Joel just put on the table with the modifications? Vote for yes to recommend.
Everybody.
Ken?
And Ken?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, so I think we're ready to go on to the next measure.
Correct. So,
Are the people from California on the phone?
No, they're not, but we do okay. Have another measure from Presby Shady's side.
Oh, we do, okay. Yes, that is...
Correct. So moving on down to measure number 9, title is Adverse/Serious Events. There's another measure proposed by Presby Shady's side. The description reads as... Description reads as follows. Incidents that result in a serious injury or death reported as a rate per 1,000 patient days. Numerator statement reads as number of adverse/serious events that patients admitted to a hospital-based inpatient psychiatric setting experience. Includes populations, patients for whom at least one adverse/serious event is reported during the month. Denominator statement reads as follows. Number of psychiatric inpatient days includes populations all psychiatric inpatient days.
So is this another measure where there's an existing measure that applies to general medical populations?
Actually, we were just checking that, and I'm not finding a measure. What we have is one of the serious reportable events. That sort of address a lot of that, but not an actual in the performance measure. That's what we're checking.
Okay.
So it would be a composite of multiple.
We're looking at it.
Okay.
How come I can't find anything more?
Because that's all that's on the website.
Oh, good grief. Hold on. I'll do a little more searching.
Serious reportable.
Well, we do have. What we do have. Is a composite measure of potentially preventable adverse events for selected indicators. And it's an ARC measure. And it's one of the composites, and we'll have to go find the...
I mean, it was under the composite framework, so...
Yeah.
So you're talking about measure 0531?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Is there a form 531?
And I'm sorry, what did you say?
The P drive is extremely slow. I kept it kicked out.
He was saying the magic number.
Right.
Would you repeat your question or comment?
He said he was just saying 0531.
He's repeating what we said.
I'm just trying to find it.
Oh, okay.
No, you won't find it. It's not.
I'm trying to pull up
the report.
It is online.
No, it's
not on the whistleblower that we're reviewing.
No, but it's online. He's.
Yes, you can. The measure 0531 is not a measure that was currently submitted to this project, so you wouldn't have that in your documentation. It's a measure that is currently endorsed by NQF and would be on our website.
We're trying to.
I'm trying.
So we're looking at number 9 really right now.
Connections are
and we're trying to see if there's this existing similar measure.
But it isn't. I don't believe it's that similar.
Yeah. It's a JACO measure.
Why is the system so slow?
JACO reportable event.
Yeah, see, that's it. It's a sentinel event, serious reportable
event,
event. But that's not a measure.
Oh.
Yeah.
So that's the difference.
But right. How about your never event?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
That's a serious reportable event, but those aren't
measures.
Those aren't
measures. It's just a list.
Yeah.
Wait, when you say they're not measures, you mean they're not NQF measures.
No, they are NQF-endorsed standards, but they are not specified as measures with a denominator and enumerator in the same way. They are sort of a list of events.
Well,
so,
NQF measure, we could get reverse harmonization.
This description says numerator and denominator.
Well, this is one we're trying to get the greater detail in here.
Right. So it does have according to this, it does have a numerator.
Right.
Every
this is the
is
measure.
Right.
We're talking about something else on the serious reportable events where a lot of the patient safety issues have been addressed.
Oh, I thought this was a description.
It is.
Okay.
I'm saying also we have other things.
Got it.
This is the one we're looking for the details on.
Okay.
Did you find it?
I'm attempting to pull it up.
Lovely.
I've been kicked off a bunch of times.
Lovely.
Oh, it's the NQF website
that's slow. How do you think she's going
to
find it?
I know.
Yeah. What about paper?
I'm this close.
Yeah.
Or you can start discussing the measure, and then when it comes time for you to talk about whether there's existing measure, we'll have it up.
There
you go.
Hopefully.
So this measure, Ian already described. Anybody from the work group want to comment, or would we like to just go to importance?
Well, we looked at this. I think that we thought it was within scope. We thought it was important. There were some issues around the definitions, which definitions of serious events would apply, and there are obviously the harmonization issues. So we can proceed however you like. But we certainly thought it was within scope and it was important.
Okay. Would we like to talk about importance?
No, she finally found it.
Oh, you found it?
Yes. Well, that's the pediatric one. Hold on.
So, I mean, while we're waiting, it seems like this is very important.
Mm-hmm. So, the existing measure is composite, developed by ARC. Patient safety for selected indicators. It is denominator is all number of eligible adult discharges for decubitus ulcer, iatrogenic pneumothorax, selected infections due to medical care, postoperative hip fracture, postoperative DVT or PE, postoperative sepsis, postoperative wound dehiscence, and accidental. So that's.
Is that numerator?
That's denominator. That's all the people in your denominator. So anyone who's discharged with an ulcer, pneumothorax, you know.
Yeah, those are like preventable
numerator.
Hospital events, right?
I
don't
understand why that's a denominator.
So
it's the numerator.
Numerator is the number of potentially preventable adverse events for that. So we'll have to get into the specifications.
Oh,
I don't
because some of them may not have been preventable.
Right. So I don't know that I would
say this is
say that you could at all harmonize these.
These aren't the same kinds.
Sure.
I don't think
I'm
so.
Sure that this would that line,
you might not.
Given the reliability of what's preventable.
I'm going to try to pull it up more.
Okay, so we've looked at the existing measure, and it's not the same. So let's move forward with this one. So importance. Would anybody like to make a comment on how important it is to measure this occurrence of incidents that result in serious injury or death? Sounds pretty important. Okay. Are we ready to vote on importance?
Yeah.
Okay. Completely?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 13.
Okay. Partially? Minimally?
1.
Not at all? Or abstentions? And what about Ken on the phone?
We lost. Completely.
Okay.
Thank you.
We lost Maureen. All right.
Okay. So we'll move to the next category, which
is... Just ask Luke what we're missing, that it's, you see it as minimal?
This number is really small. This number, you don't have a lot of serious adverse events in a facility. And that serious and adverse event is managed by accreditation. You know, so if you have one of these, you're doing a lot of work. So the number, to me,
the numerator,
is really, so it's just not important. It's what we do, and all of what management does to respond to a serious adverse event or a death is so much more important than this small number.
If I can make a comment, depending on how broadly or narrowly one defines serious adverse event, I mean, that number could be very small or it could be substantial. And I think this, one of the problems has to do with how we're going to define serious adverse event. And if we restrict ourselves to the serious reportable adverse events that are on the NQF list, or if we make it somewhat broader than that, is anything that happens is unexpected that results in additional treatment being necessary. I mean, that could conceivably be a urinary tract infection in somebody who had a catheter inserted who needed antibiotics. I mean, I think that is a complication of treatment that's not completely unanticipated but is not planned for, and it required extra treatment. So if that's a serious adverse event, then, you know, potentially that's a very substantial number. If the bar is set higher than that, then it's a much lower number.
In the description of this, the developer did say that cast the net widely on what would be an adverse event, and in fact in the definition it says serious adverse event or serious event, and then the description went on to adverse events, and that they cited that the National Quality Forum has endorsed 27 adverse events that are serious. And with the, and I think they were suggesting that all of those be included, and didn't list what those 27 were, though, or did they?
Well, I think they're on the NQF serious reportable adverse events list, which we can go through, but it includes, you know, anything. It says death, disability associated with a medication error. I guess it depends on what the definition of disability is for this purpose, and you all are probably more familiar with that than I am. But they also later on talk about a serious event as including any unanticipated injury requiring the delivery of additional health services to the patient, which is a very broad definition, which could make this a very large numerator as opposed to the kinds of things that we normally think about when we think about serious events.
So I assume that when we get to the scientific section, that one of the issues is definitional here. Because when I read through the specification, it seemed like, well, at one point they're talking about a fairly defined group, and then at another point it seems like who knows what it is. Is that?
They cited literature from IOM that where adverse events were between 3% and 4% of patients experienced adverse events that would be within their definition, which they didn't exactly specify, but implying that it was fairly broad.
The definition of specificity is
Definitional specificity was a clear problem with this.
I think, as is, the title's misleading because I think an adverse event such as a UTI that maybe you'd have, you know, another physician or provider look at and maybe order some, you know, treatment for, under what you're discussing, it would qualify. But if I looked at the title of serious injury or death, I would not think of a UTI.
Right. You know?
I mean, so there's sort of a disconnect there.
They were using the what they cited as IOM definition of adverse event, which is defined as injuries caused by medical management.
Right.
So that's...
Then I think that's what the title should reflect. You know, because if I were looking for something like that, I wouldn't look under serious injury or death. Yeah.
Well, we have to decide what...
Right.
What measure we're looking at, because at this point of the analysis, we decide that...
The name and the description are different.
Yeah.
Is the developer on the line? Can we ask them what they...
Is the developer here?
Is it Presbyterian? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shadyside?
Who is that?
Right here.
Have you been listening to our discussion?
Can you repeat the question? I got called out for a second.
We're having a discussion regarding your submission where the name of the measure is serious adverse event or death, something like that.
Serious injury or death.
Serious...
Serious adverse event.
Yes, yeah, serious injury or death. And is that what it is?
Yeah.
Adverse/slash serious events.
Thank you.
Tiger's major number 9.
No.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
The measure name and the description name are different.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, they're close.
Close, but...
And then the description further on talks about... a serious event being defined fairly broadly as any event being caused by medical management or any injury caused by medical management, which we thought, which really wouldn't necessarily be a serious event.
A situation involving the clinical care of a patient in a medical facility that results in death or compromises patient safety and results in an unanticipated injury requiring the delivery of additional health care services. That's how we define serious events.
So would that include having a catheter in and getting a UTI, for example?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Would it include having to put a Band-Aid on somebody's hand because they got scratched?
Well, that would not be included because it does not require additional health care services.
Oh, yeah, that's billable, isn't it? Yeah. So, well, just raising the point that there are some definitional ambiguities here, that that's what we're trying to bring out.
But during, you know, following your... lead here, during a seclusion or a restraint, if the person suffered some type of injury, that would be reportable.
I guess one of the challenges I'm having here is in coming up with a standard definition that would be consistent across different settings and having different organizations use this measure in comparable ways. Could you address that question?
The question is the definition that they are using for an adverse event, is that the Pennsylvania Patient Safety Reporting System definition? Is it the NQF reporting, what measure, how are they defining, please?
Did you hear the question?
The definition is done by NCARE is...
Can you repeat that, please? Okay, thank you. Any discussion?
Well, I still think that we have a mismatch between the measure title and the measure description. And it would need a little more clarity for my comfort level. Because to me, putting a Band-Aid on someone is not a serious injury worth adding to this.
It's just a matter of which do we want. Right. I mean...
Do we want
it
to?
We just got to be consistent, so right. We know what we're talking about.
So we could go in, like the examples and the description goes in the direction of being broad. The definition goes in the direction of being narrow. I think that what the developer is submitting and probably would be only willing to manage is what they're currently doing, which is broader. So not a narrow definition, which is not what they're currently doing. So we could, if NQF agrees, ask the measure developer to broaden the definition and or change the definition to more accurately reflect the definition that that they gave on the phone, and then vote on the measure according to what we think has been submitted.
Yeah, I think this is potentially a very important measure, not just for mental health, but across the board. And it seems to me that, you know, there must be a lot of thinking going on about this kind of thing at NQF and in other places. You know, I know that Bill Mounier at ARC is very involved in this kind of stuff. There's actually an international patient safety classification that's been developed. And so there's a lot of thinking about this stuff, and somehow this should be brought to bear on this whole issue. At least for me, it's kind of premature until that's been done.
So you would like to keep it to more of a standard definition and maybe go more toward the serious event? Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying that this is... looking just at scientific acceptability, this is not ready for prime time.
Right.
That this needs a lot more clarification in collaboration with a lot of other people working in the same area.
Okay.
So, I mean, I think to echo Harold's comment here, we should really communicate to our NQF colleagues here that this is clearly a very important area. There's clearly tons of work going on here. And come on, gals and guys, help organize an effort to develop a rigorous, scientifically valid, well-constructed measure. Certainly this group is doing some wonderful work locally, but we need a national measure in this arena.
Yeah, I think what we can do, it's very straightforward, is we will take this discussion to Peter Angood, who sort of leads the patient safety work at NQF, and he's got a fair amount of work ongoing, and perhaps it's better looked at in that context than this one, and address a lot of these issues for you. But I think your recommendation to get the clarity with the collaboration of all the many efforts that are going on is an excellent one.
Can I ask a quick question?
Okay. Inpatient psych.
It's outpatient. So it's heavily weighted to institutions that have people for, particularly for long-term periods.
Not necessarily.
No. I mean, you could think of this also for domiciliary type of arrangements. I mean, I think it could be certainly a broader concept, but I think the action that we're sort of foretelling here of sending it back to the experts in NQF make a lot of sense to me.
Let me just say one little other piece about this. If I've got this right, this originated out of Allegheny County, out of Western Pike? Is that correct?
Yes.
So one of the things that I think has informed this, and then I'm just putting this as an additional concern, right?
It's sort of the result of the action you have on this measure, so I think it would be good that the committee weigh in formally on it.
Okay. So how about first we vote on the criteria for this particular measure as submitted, and then we will make a formal recommendation.
I don't have my microphone on, sorry. What we're voting on now in importance is on the measure as a whole, not the particular measure that's submitted, but the concept of this measure and the importance of it. So how many would like to vote for completely?
We
already voted on importance?
You have us
Scientific
validity.
Scientific acceptability, sorry. Yeah. Scientific acceptability.
So, completely?
No.
Partially?
One.
Minimally?
One, two,
three, four, five,
11.
Okay. Not at all? And Ken?
I'm coming in minimally.
Okay, thank you. So
okay.
We got
13 for minimally. We're missing
Richard.
Shall we vote again for minimally? Do you have the wrong number?
Or for partial, it was just one, correct? And not at all was zero?
Rich, did you want to vote on scientific acceptability?
Not at all.
Okay, one more for not at all. Do you have the numbers now? Okay, so we're okay with numbers?
I think we must have, it must be 14 for minimally because we have 16 with Ken on the phone. So.
Okay. So we're ready to go on to the next category. Sorry I tried to vote twice on importance.
We've been known to change our minds.
Oh, we might have said minimally the next time. Yeah, we don't want to do the psychometrics on our voting.
Okay, usability is the next one. Now, we're voting on this particular measure and the usability of this particular measure, given the discussion we had about the lack of clarity on what's included and not included. Are we any discussion or are we ready to vote? Ready to vote. Okay. Completely? Partially? minimally.
Nine?
Not at all.
What was this vote again? I'm sorry.
This is on usability, Ken.
Okay.
Do you have a vote?
I'm going to go with partially.
Okay. Thank you. Last category is feasibility. So this includes, this is how feasible it is to collect the data. Is it an automatic byproduct of care, et cetera, or is it burdensome to collect?
I think this kind of data is being collected on incident reports all over hospitals.
The issue of inaccuracies, exclusions, given our discussion, makes it problematic.
Right. And there's certainly some things that might be included on this list that wouldn't necessarily generate incident reports, I think, under the current practice.
And the way it was defined by instrumentation type of thing, catheter-related UTI, I mean, you're not going to capture that on incident reports. It would take bizarre chart abstractions,
yeah,
at least in my setting.
Okay, any further discussion about feasibility before we vote? Okay, completely, partially, minimally.
Thirteen?
Not at all. And Ken?
Minimally.
Thank you. Are there any comments from the public before on the phone or here before we make a final recommendation?
No comment.
Okay. So we'll vote on whether to recommend this measure as submitted, move forward to NQF or not. So those in favor of recommending this measure move forward as a recommendation? Those who do not recommend? And how about Ken?
I recommend that we send it on.
Okay. Okay.
Wasn't there going to be some sort of discussion about something that we wanted to recommend?
Yes.
To the quality, to the safety committee?
Yes. So like the last time, somebody made a very articulate recommendation summarizing our discussion. Would anyone like to do that?
As Joel, you did that.
Joel, that was your second time that you did that in this group.
So I would move that we ask NQF in collaboration with other NQF members to examine this measure in concert with other efforts that are taking place with regard to the measurement of adverse events.
Okay, thank you. Any amendments to that statement of recommendation to NQF?
I think it's probably understood, but the development of a measure will be rather than simply what we've done right at the current state.
Yeah, I think that this is not an amendment to the motion, but more a statement that this work group believes that the patient safety initiative is very important, it's vital, and we would like to see some sort of national measure put forth.
And do we want to include what Ken mentioned about it being both for inpatient and for community settings, across settings.
Good point.
Okay, so how many would like to vote to recommend this to NQF for yes?
Yeah. Ken?
Yes.
Okay. Unanimous. Excellent. Next measure. Ian, would you like to present the next measure?
Yeah, I've been on the email trying to get a hold of individuals from RAND. If we can.
Do we only have RANDs left?
We have RAND and as well as one other individual. So. Jeff, did you want to take a quick break?
Break before lunch?
Would people like to take just a 10-minute break while I try to touch bases via email with individuals?
Any others we could do now?
The measure that we skipped from the substance abuse group, which was measure number 14.
Psychiatrist rated assessment? You wanted some?
Seattle, correct. I got an email back from them, so they're unavailable at this point in time, but they'd be available later on this afternoon.
Where's three?
Yes.
My apologies. Is it the pleasure of the group that both measures, both of the falls measures, be worked upon for psychiatric? Because the motion was on. Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe could we have a motion to that? Just
so moved. Right.
Thank you.
Done.
So if we would like to just...
That was acclamation.
Right.
If we could maybe just move to take a 10-minute break. People need to send emails, and we can just try to get things sorted out.
47 RAND?
Still trying to get a hold of them.
Okay, 47 is not RAND.
I'm sorry, it's not RAND, but I'm still trying to get a hold of the developer.
Convene. And we're going to be doing measures 5 and 21, which are in workgroup 3, and that is the ones that are on the last group on the agenda.
Which one are we going to focus on first, please? 5 or 21?
Starting off probably on 5.
So 5 is services offered for psychosocial needs, and it is paired with 21. They're paired. They've submitted them as paired measures, right, Ian? Or Ian paired them. Do you mind if we start with 21, Ian?
That's fine.
I'm trying to knock Ian's computer over here.
Okay, so we're going to start with 21 because it sort of comes before 5 in order of care. So we're going to go 21 and then 5. And Ian is going to give us a little summary of 21.
All right, so looking over measure 20. The measure title reads as follows: Assessment of Psychosocial Needs. The description of the measure is proportion of patients with a new treatment episode who receive a baseline assessment of psychosocial needs or deficits access for across the domains of housing and employment. Numerator statement reads as follows: patients from the denominator who receive a baseline assessment of the precise or absence of psychosocial needs or deficits access for across all of the following domains within 1 month of the start of new treatment episode: housing, employment status, work or other meaningful daily activities. Denominator statement, all patients with a new treatment episodes for any mental health disorder. And we do have major developers from RAND on the line.
The measure developers from RAND, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi,
Watkins at RAND.
And I'm Carol Roth.
Okay, thank you. So it's Kate Watkins and Carol Roth from RAND. Would anyone from the work group like to comment on this measure?
I'll start. I think this is an area that's clearly very, very important, and there's a lot more evidence than what was submitted by the measure developers. It's certainly an area that I think, as one member of our group, both housing and employment are cited in the New Freedom Commission on Mental Health. Consumers consistently rank those as kind of their top priorities. So it's really, really important. I'm not sure that what was submitted makes the case nearly as strongly as it could be.
Yeah. I pulled some information from the New Freedom Commission report and also some citations about 46% of homeless people are also thought to suffer mental illness. So there's definitely well-documented need. The dilemma that this work group had was taking this measure and and making the case that the interventions that are being measured are indeed going to be evidence-based measures to improve outcome. There is actually research and well-defined evidence-based interventions for employment. There is less well-documented evidence-based interventions for homelessness. In fact, I included in there a citation from Newman and Goldman that say that essentially this is one of the most visible failures of our behavioral health delivery system. So I think it's very important. I think we all, you know, among the three of us have had some discussion and believe it's important. The dilemma is the evidence-based piece.
And the only thing I might add to that, I certainly agree that it's important and that inquiring about into these domains is really part of what we need to be doing whenever we see a patient. My question is a fundamental question as to whether this is really a response to the charge of this group. I mean, this seems like very much a process measure and not an outcome measure. It arguably the other measure we're going to consider, which has to do with delivering services, could be seen as a maybe an intermediate outcome of some sort. But even that one seems like a process measure, really not an outcome measure. And it really depends on how broadly we want to define our charge here, whether we consider this further or not.
One of the dilemmas that I had was that yes, this is a process measure. However, it would be the first step to what would be considered the companion measure, which from my perspective was really an intermediate outcome measure.
So we're back on that spectrum of where we stand. You know, like everybody's going to say, you got to ask about housing, you got to ask about employment. If I go back home, tell them I came from the NQF Outcomes Committee meeting, and we decided that it's important to ask patients whether they're employed and what their housing is. And made that people are going to shoot me. I mean, this is not an outcomes measure. I mean, yeah, we got to teach people to take a good history and record a history of domains that are relevant to taking care of people. And maybe the committee will argue that we have to somehow, you know, talk yourselves into calling it that for other purposes. But I think this is not an outcome.
But, you know, we've already at one point made a recommendation of a measure yesterday that was a process measure, and we called it a process measure, which had to do with the PHQ-9. So we do have a precedent for doing something like this.
Didn't we link that with something?
PHQ-9, if that's the one you're saying, that's an outcome measure.
No, what we did was we talked about just the plain administration of it was a process measure, and we went ahead and endorsed it. Yeah.
Right. So we talked about, I think, the outcome or almost outcome measure, intermediate outcome measure first, and we endorsed that as an intermediate outcome measure, and then we recommended to NQF that they endorse the linked process, clearly process measure. So if we want to consider that route, we would probably consider, we would look at number five, is it? First. Go back to number five, which is more, could be argued to be an intermediate outcome measure. and then go back to this one to see if we want to endorse it as a linked process measure. Does everyone agree? Okay. So number 5, Ian, could you describe that one?
Yes. So moving back to measure number 5, the title of the measure is Services Offered for Psychosocial Needs. The description reads as follows: proportion of patients with a new treatment episode and have evidence of need, deficit for housing, or employment status who are offered services for psychosocial needs. The numerator statement reads as follows: patients from the denominator who are offered services across the following domains within 12 months of the start of a new treatment episode: housing or employment status. Denominator statement reads: patients from the denominator who are offered services across the following domains within 12 months of a new treatment episode. I'm sorry, those same. Do members in the work group have that measure open? I think we must have a cross posting of the.
Yeah.
Do you have the denominator state or the numerator statement available?
What section is it? Numerator. Yep. Here's numerator right here.
Numerator comes from the denominator.
You need denominator. I have the denominator right here. I have it. So all patients with an NTE for any mental health disorder who also have evidence of need / deficit across the domains of housing or employment status.
So do you want to say what the numerator is, Ian? Or did
Heidi, do you have that up? Or?
Sorry, I've got it.
The numerator is the patients from that denominator that Heidi just mentioned who are offered services across the following domains within 12 months of the start of a new treatment episode, and those domains being housing or employment status. So I think
Why don't we ask Rand to provide just some background? Why don't we ask the measure developer to just perhaps describe the measure itself? Would that be helpful? I'm sorry, Rand, I don't know if you knew. I didn't miss your name. I think it was
Carol. Or Kate?
I'm sorry, I did not understand the question.
Can you provide just a little background on the intent of this measure and how the numerator and the denominator are structured?
Yes. The denominator is people with need for housing or employment, and that's assessed by the NQF number, I think it's 5. And then the numerator is evidence that services were offered for either housing or employment. In some ways, there are two measures that we put together as one, but you could have a separate measure for housing and a separate measure for employment. And for this particular measure, we've been fairly generous in what we define as services for employment or services for housing, because it tends to be something that's not well documented in the medical record. Of course, if someone were offered supported employment, that would also count in terms of being a service offered for employment problems, or if someone were enrolled in a homeless program to try to get them housing, then that's, again, more formal evidence of being in, of offering a service. But this measure also allows people to, allows providers to pass if they are having conversations with the patient about either their housing and employment, recognizing that not all patients are ready for an evidence-based intervention. They may be at the point of only being ready to have kind of a motivational interviewing type of intervention where you talk about what it is that they want and what their goals are, and that's going to be described in the chart the way we've described it here, that a conversation has happened around this, but the chart's not going to record did a brief intervention or did a motivational intervention to help patients understand that he needed to change his housing situation or improve his housing situation. So that the numerator is, both numerators are relatively broad in terms of what is acceptable.
Maureen, did you have a comment?
I had a question. Do you have some baseline data as to the frequency of these two questions being asked and recorded in the charts?
Yes. I don't have that on the tip of my fingers, but we do have that. We've actually pilot tested or tested these measures with about 6,000 people. Mm-hmm. And so I can certainly get that information for you.
Yeah, I'm just kind of curious whether you're even seeing, you know, a third of the, you know, clinicians are asking that those questions, or whether we're, you know, more like in the 65% range or something like that. I'd be curious to know.
I could get that for you if you'd like, but I can't do it immediately.
So I just want to follow up with another question. So based on what you've said, a conversation that says you really need to find housing, or you'd be better off if you had housing, or some motivational interviewing related to pursuing goals related to housing would count, even if it's not accompanied by any linkage to a housing resource? Or is it that the clinician actually was able to facilitate a connection to a resource that was actually available?
Don't want those kinds of things and are not ready for them. And that you need to, I think the important thing is that you meet the patient where they're at and you provide an intervention to move them along the continuum towards the next step. And that may be moving them from being completely uninterested in making a change in their housing situation or in their employment. They may work at a bar and have an alcohol problem, and they may be perfectly satisfied with that. And so your conversation with them may move them along the continuum to say, oh, maybe I should think about not working in a bar and how that makes it harder for me to not drink. Certainly you can refer them to AA, but again, the idea is that you are helping the patient move along the continuum from a point of having a problem with their housing or need for housing or employment to a place where they can actually make use of a service such as supported employment or a housing program.
I wanted to ask if about reliability. My understanding from reading this is that this is chart abstraction based on abstraction by various chart reviewers of free-form text, not so much in an electronic medical record or a pull-down menu or whether or not the clinician did or did not address the assessment or make an offer, give specific information about housing or employment. And given that this would be an after-the-fact chart abstraction, I'm wondering if you've done tests on reliability of abstractors looking at free-form text of medical records.
We have not quite completed that, but that is almost completed. Since the time we have submitted the measure, we've been doing it on this sample of, I think it's 6,000 charts with different diagnoses, and so we have not finished the final, I think SUD is the final diagnosis. In the earlier diagnoses, the reliability, it's the prevalence adjusted HAVOC reliability, it ranges between 0.6 something and 0.8 something. So it's good. It's got reasonable reliability.
And
we'll be able to give you an overall reliability for all the disorders.
And considering the issue of replicability and feasibility of doing this in other settings, given that it's not an automatically generated report and that it requires an after-the-fact chart audit. Could you comment on that?
That is a problem. That will mean that data collection for this measure is more difficult and more time-consuming. I don't think that there's any way around that.
Go ahead.
Could you comment on the decision to make the time frame 12 months?
Again, that was not made with a. There was no evidence for saying why it should be 12 months or 6 months or 3 months. Our sense is that sometimes someone's in the beginning of a new treatment episode, it may take them 3 or 6 months to stabilize to the point where, again, a conversation could be held. If someone comes in acutely psychotic, it wouldn't be appropriate to have to really assess their housing and have a conversation about housing when they first arrive on the inpatient unit. and so we wanted to allow time for the patient to get better enough from the beginning of the new treatment episode so that a conversation would make sense, would be reasonable. And so that's why we were fairly generous in saying that process could take up to a year, that it may be that you're dealing with other issues prior in the first 6 months related to just stabilization of symptoms.
So are we at a point where we can go through...
I have one other question for the
yes.
RAND folks, which is, was there any consideration given to the group that developed this measure? And I believe there were people from all over the country, is that right, developing, working with the measure development, is that correct?
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
Yeah, were there people from around the country, various VAs working on the development of this measure?
Yes.
Okay. Was there any consideration given by the work group to... really having two measures. One dealt with, as you were saying, supported evidence-based employment intervention versus the motivational interviewing that you were talking about for people who aren't yet ready for more formal intervention.
We did not discuss separating those two.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Could I just go back to I did ask before about reliability testing, which would be inter-abstractor reliability. How about validity testing on whether or not this is even written in the chart and whether or not the abstractors are, in fact, catching what is a valid reflection of what happened during the clinician's patient visit?
So this measure depends on the clinician documenting in the chart what in fact the clinician is doing in the session. And to the extent that the clinician doesn't document it, it's not a valid measure because physician or social worker or psychologist hasn't provided any evidence that it actually existed. Our inter-rater reliability, the way we tested for it was to have pairs of raters re-abstract charts and then look and see whether or not they came up with the same answer.
Right.
And so to that extent, we were able to show that our trained nurse abstractors are able to reliably abstract this information from the chart.
But let's say that this was a chronically not written down occurrence by clinicians, then your reliability might be very good, but the validity would not necessarily be good. Have you done anything to test the validity on whether or not what they found in the chart is actually what happened during the interview?
No, we have not observed interviewers them to what is reported in the chart. And I think if you were to find that it was not written in the chart, that's something, and I can again tell you the prevalence of what we found. if you were to find that it was not documented in the chart, then the intervention on the part of the provider would be to work on documentation. You know, that has to be the first step.
Yeah, I had a couple of questions. The first is, I noticed that the definition that this measure is really only for psychiatric disorders. I didn't see substance abuse or Alzheimer's in there. Is that correct?
Substance abuse is in there. Alzheimer's is not.
Okay, thanks. And then the other was, at the time of this submission, there wasn't any data available about the cost of collection and the cost of training abstractors. Do you have any additional data on that now, please?
Not at this point.
Okay.
We'll have some additional data, but it's not ready yet.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from the group before we discuss each category?
Well, we have to still decide whether it's in scope, don't we?
Oh, yes, you're right. So this, we have to decide whether or not this particular one, so this isn't the, whether or not the clinician did the assessment, this is the second measure now, whether or not they talked about the, or recommended housing or employment options, right? There are two measures, so everybody's straight on that. So we've gone to the second measure, and we want to decide if this is in scope as a intermediate outcome. Any discussion on that?
Yeah. You say second measure, could you specify the
number? Okay, that's a good idea. Number five is this, number 12 was the first one, and the 21 is the first one, the assessment measure, and five is the second measure. So now we're on five. Any discussion about whether or not this is an outcome?
Oh, I guess I would say it seems to be a mix. On the one hand, if a clinician actually facilitates access to housing, then indeed it is a way of looking at outcomes. If the clinician hands someone a list of shelters, from research on homelessness, I can say that that is pretty useless. It's not likely to produce an outcome. And so it seems that there's we may get into this, I think, when we get into the scientific properties here, but as it's been described, it's getting at a mix of outcomes and processes.
I really view it as an intermediate outcome.
And I'm the outcomes purist in the group, and I would say this is a process measure, even this one a process measure more than an intermediate outcome.
Okay.
Further to the right than I am.
Right.
Purist.
And I would go back to what Carol said and say that it really didn't describe, it really described only the, if the clinician did something. It didn't even get into whether or not the person got shelter or got employment at all. It really did not go that far as getting into an outcome. Correct?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. That was because we felt the actual getting of employment or getting of housing was subject to constraints that were really outside the healthcare system and would vary depending on what state you are and what the, for example, what the unemployment level is in your particular region. And so you may get variations in your levels of these outcomes.
It raises an interesting issue, holding people accountable for things that are outside their domain of what they can control. That's a problem. On the other hand, we were talking yesterday about these kind of gaps in care, the way our care is fragmented. So, you know, medical people say, well, I couldn't address the depression because that's outside my